Thank you. I don't know if you appreciated me singing along with it, but I enjoyed it. Obviously, we have some folks that are having to deal with COVID this week. I know Gary Jones is out, and then Frida Russ, she's going through that, down that journey, and unfortunately, it's back to visit us again. I was trying to avoid using that word in church, you know, because I don't want to think about it. You know, I certainly don't want to have to go back to the way we were, so we're going to continue to pray. Do you believe that it does matter when you pray? You think it's just, well, let's just keep praying that God will keep the folks safe. I mean, you know, part of life is having to deal with a broken world, and sometimes you get sick, but we have somebody that cares, and we can go to them, and if it's not, and, you know, one day it's going to all be our time, but, you know, with confidence, we're able to go to the Lord and ask him to protect, and so that's what we're going to continue to do in those areas, so pray for them. Well, Brother Matt, are you ready? I just want to show a quick video. I have to find a mic. So this is from Pastor Shannon Foote. He's been here before. He's preached here for me. He went over to Africa. Shannon pastors Grace Baptist Church in Marrero, Louisiana. That's the first church, Zach, that's the church I pastored when I was your age. So he's doing a really good job there. Obviously, when that hurricane went through, it was right in his area. It's in his backyard. So he's going to just give us an update. Go ahead.
Hello, my name is Shannon Foote. I'm the pastor at Grace Baptist Church in Marrero, Louisiana. We're just south of the city of New Orleans, about 10 miles away from Lafitte, Louisiana, which I'm sure many of you have heard about in national news coverage in recent days because of the horrendous impact that Hurricane Ida has had in our local community. We were blessed here at Grace. We had little to no damage done to our property, and we've already set up as a distribution center to be able to show the love of Christ to those here in our community with the obvious goal of winning them and seeing them added to the church. With your help, we'll be able to do so much more to help folks recover from flood disaster down in Lafitte, and then of course over in Houma and the Dulac area where there have been significant losses to the majority of their infrastructure there in those areas, as well as St. Charles Parish that also has realized devastating impacts from Hurricane Ida. And we've been several days without power now, and even without power here at our facilities, we're continuing to try to do everything we can to provide tarps, fuel, water, groceries, cleaning supplies, and even demolition tools, anything that we can to put into the hands of folks to just help them begin to get back on their feet, begin to rebuild in the wake of this disaster. But most importantly, we just want you to pray for us. We're asking that you would just lift us up to the Lord and get helping us to recover and give us wisdom and opportunity as we continue to reach out to those around us. If you would like to contribute to the hurricane relief, please contact me personally, and I will direct you in how to do that. And I'm working with several other Baptist pastors across the state, trying to make sure that all of the resources that come our way find their way to the most needy area, whether that be here south of us in Lafitte or towards St. Charles Parish or down into Terrebonne Parish, which is where you'll find Houma and Dulac. And so thank you so much for your interest in wanting to help. And I appreciate you taking the time to just hear a little bit about what we're doing. Please understand, we're not begging. God knew exactly what was going to happen. God has a plan. God has already begun to work in some pretty fantastic ways, just allowing us to have inroads in different areas in our community. And we're going to continue to capitalize on those. But you definitely have an opportunity to invest in the work that God is doing through this and see rewards added to your account. And as the love of Christ is extended far beyond our local community by God's people banding together to help us in our time of need. Thank you so much. God bless you.
So a lot of times when something like this happens, even when I was pastoring before, you look at that, whether it's in New York or Louisiana or wherever, and you'd say, boy, I'd like to help, but, you know, there's lots of places you never know what the money's going to be used for or how it's going to get down there. Well, this time, I know somebody that's right there. I used to pastor that church. He's a good pastor. Without a doubt, he will make sure that it goes to help people, and that I have confidence in. So we're going to take up an offering today. If you feel like, or you've seen that on the news, and just thought that, you know, we talk about, you know, overseas, and people ask me, well, don't people back here need help? The answer is yes, and there's the opportunity, right? So, you know, we're going to put an offering plate here. If you'd like to give towards that, then we'll get it down to Pastor Foote this week, and he'll put it to use. You know, when people are hurting and people are going through a struggle, the walls come down that may be there before when it comes to the things of the Lord. They're definitely weakened. Their flesh is a little softer. Now's the time to strike. Somebody goes in there with an arm's length and say, hey, this is not only from our church, but this is from a church up in Tennessee that doesn't even know you, but wants to let you know that they're praying for you. Goes a long way. A local church can use that to spread the truth. So we're going to put an offering plate out here after church service. And I have a friend with me. I shouldn't call you. Pastor Zach, you want to stand up and introduce your family real quick?
Sure. My name is Zach Fry. My wife, Brianna, our little girl Chloe is 3, and Clayton is just over 2 months. And we're from Elwood City, Pennsylvania. I pastor Parkgate Baptist Church, and I grew up going to Slippery Rock Baptist, where Pastor Dave was pastor for many years there. So we love the barn house. I'm thankful to be here this morning.
Yeah, he's actually spent quite a lot of time at my house and still willing to come hear me preach. Amen. Yeah, that's always a special thing. So I'm glad they're here with us this morning. That's all I have. I almost said Ronnie.
I'll answer Green. If everybody would please stand. Ask the deacons if they'll come forward, please. 237. Brother Ron, would you please ask the question? We sing, we shall be holy.
Thank you. you all pray for us this morning. But it is good to be here, isn't it? There's so much going on in the world that we better take advantage when we can and be here for the Lord. On the cross as they hung him, shame was forsaken. As they drove the nails in his hands and his feet, as death closed his eyes, his cry like a sheep he was humble to his father's home. So sad was his face that the birds stopped their singing. They were walking, my Lord, to whom he was laid, but death could not hurt him. He was God's only son in this world below. On the cross he was given the plan of salvation. And I want to thank Jesus for his coming again. One morning past daybreak, as the crowd slowly gathered, like a sheep he was father's home. So sad was his face that the birds stopped their singing. They were walking, my Lord, Calvary's
song this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, if you'd go to the book of 2 Thessalonians. Miss Beth, how many, oh, there you are. You see you being a little bit, how many boxes do you think over there now? So we had Brother Randy's dad pass, Randy, Glenn, who comes here and does our cowboy camp, his dad passed away and had several thousand books. And then another pastor who also passed away donated some of their library to Africa. And Beth has put them in 1 foot by 1 foot boxes. Next Sunday, I'll bring a couple of them over there to get a box over to Zambia that's 1 foot by 1 foot. It doesn't go by weight. It only goes by the cubic volume in it. It's about $30 a box. We've got a little bit over 20 boxes to move. It's something that easily that a family could do. In fact, I'll give you a Sharpie marker. You can even write up a note on the box, say, hey, praying for you. But we need to try to get those over to Africa. Then we'll get them down to Boston where they'll be put on a container and shipped over that. And And then Brother Jacob Richards called me. His church is doing well. And the next coming up at in a few weeks, they're going to be doing some Saturday door knocking and canvassing in their area. And we're going to get a date from him and try to put a group together from here to go up some Saturday and have him canvass a neighborhood and pass out flyers about their church. And he's doing a good job up there. He's a couple years into it now, and the Lord's blessing, so just pray for that. 1 Thessalonians, and I was talking, so I got to find it. Or not 1, 2 Thessalonians. don't turn back. I said it right the first time. 2 Thessalonians, let me just get there. 2 Thessalonians, and then we're going to look at verse 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for being able to be in your house. Lord, thank you for a good Sunday school time. I pray that you'd be with our folks. Some of them are struggling with COVID today. We have some little ones that are sick as well. And God, I just pray you continue to help them. I pray you'd help our county, Lord, as it struggles through that. Lord, I think about Tammy, Lord, who's home right now recovering from COVID, as well as Frida and Gary and others I'm sure I'm missing. And Lord, our county, as schools full swing and all the teachers and everybody's got to work out in public, Lord, just ask and pray that you'd continue to protect us, Lord. And Lord, also I ask that you be with our country. Lord, but today we're going to just focus on us. And Lord, we're here today because we need you. Lord, I'm in need of help just like everybody else in this room, and we are coming collectively together not to hear from me because I can't help anybody, but to hear from you. Father, I pray and ask that you would be gracious to forgive us for where we let you down. So many times we take it for granted that we can walk through those doors. Of folks in the Old Testament had to go way through way more in order to go to the house of the Lord. Lord, they had to oftentimes bring a sacrifice with them. Lord, we know that that sacrifice has already been made. And thank you, Father, for that. But we don't want to get used to the fact, Lord, that it's taken care of. We want to remember to ask you to forgive us, admitting the fact that we have sinned and that we need your help. And Lord, as we open the Bible today, I pray you'd help us. Lord, it's the only thing that can. Thank you for being so kind, loving, and forgiving. We ask this in your precious name. Amen. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that they it's mentioned in the Bible. I like how he's writing to this church in Thessalonica, and he's reminding them of the same thing we talk about often here about the second coming of the Lord. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled. You know, there's in the world we live in, it's very difficult not to be shaken by the things around us, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. In verse 3 it says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away. Now we know that we can't tell, we don't know the day or the hour that the Lord's going to come back. Not even Jesus knows that, only the Father knows that. But you have a verse here that says that it's coming, but it cannot happen except these things take place. So I can't dial it in on a day. We don't know the hour, but I know this, that it says that as that day approaches, there's going to be a falling away. Now, he's writing this to a church, so he's writing this to Christian people, and he's saying not only the world around you is going to have problems, but as that day approaches, now remember Israel and how beautiful of a model that was. So the grace of God did not last. And its glory day, it won't see a glory day like it had until during the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. That their glory day has come and gone. Right? I mean, the day that they lived in Israel, where they had all the land. They won't get all the land that was given to them. They've got a portion of that land. They do not own all the land God's given them. They do not occupy all that land. They did at one time. And it was beautiful when you read about how they lived and what God did with them in those days that they walked with Him. It was a beautiful thing. But then worldliness came in. They let their guard down. They were not careful with the people around them. They did not do oftentimes what God asked them to do. And that trouble came in. And not only did it deteriorate the lands around them, it also began to have consequences in the children of Israel. And therefore, God had to bring things in their lives to where they're at today. Okay, America is no different. And as America as a whole, as it begins to deteriorate around us, which we all know that, understand that it's going to have Christian casualties along the way. It absolutely 100% has affected the church. I mean, the church has the same problems that the world has. I mean, it's sad to say that not even the divorce rate isn't a whole lot better in the church than it's outside of the church, that we have oftentimes the same problems the world has because it's closing in on us. We understand that. We understand that there's going to be a great falling away, but we don't have to just give in to that. That cannot be an excuse. And we have to understand that as a country, as a whole, that God, being God, is going to be offended by those actions, and there are repercussions of that every day. Here's the problem. Unfortunately, the church has a role in that. It owns some of that. Okay? It is the reason some of these things are happening, because when America stood strong as a country, as a godly country, well, the churches let their guard down, and the things of the world began to creep in. So we own some of that responsibility. The church, we can't just blame it on the government and say, well, this president or that president. We can't blame it on society. The church has to dial back and say, okay, what do we own of this? What areas could we have done better? We've accepted things we shouldn't have accepted. We have marginalized things that we shouldn't have marginalized. We have accepted a lower level of godliness than the church 100 years ago would have accepted in America today. And for that, we've got to stand and take account of that and understand we own some of that. Okay? In America today, we obviously know that there's a problem. We obviously know our country's walking away from God. And there's two things that we have to look at today. You can either be a part of the problem, or you can be the solution to the problem. When I was an assistant pastor, a little bit younger than Pastor Zach when I started, and I'd go to the pastor and I would take to him a problem. You know what he told me, Greg? He said, "Don't come to me with any more problems unless you have a solution." He said, anybody can gripe. You know, anybody can point out something and say, well, this is wrong and that's wrong. He said, if you really want to help me, then you come to me. If you're going to point something out, then have a solution to that. Say, hey, I noticed this and I'm willing to do this. Or I saw that and I'm willing to do this. And may I tell you something? That's what we have to understand. We're either going to be a part of the problem of why things are happening. Listen, God is righteous, God is holy, and He cannot be around things that are unrighteous. When our country's walking away from God, there is a chain of effect that happens. You don't want to be a part of that. The way the church is today, there's enough sin in the church to warrant God taking His blessings off of America, not even including the sins of the people that aren't saved.
The people that are saved, we've gotten so used to living marginally for Christ and so used to lowering down the level of holiness that he should have, that the sins in the church are enough to warrant God to take his blessings off. Oftentimes, we want to blame it on the government. We want to blame it on the laws that are passed. We want to blame it on people that aren't even saved. And in essence, we got to draw it back and say, okay, some of this is our fault. You know, let me show you this, if you would. Go to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. And this is a familiar story. Joshua chapter 7, and I want you to look at verse 20. Joshua 7 and verse 20, and Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done, when I saw among the spoils and God a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight. Then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran under the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent and brought them unto Joshua and unto all the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and garments and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters, his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them under the valley of Achor. If you read that, they stoned everybody and everything. So here you have a man that was living in the children of Israel. They were going up against Jericho, and Jericho was this heathen people that God had already judged because they were heathens, and he was giving their land over to Israel. Well, Israel goes in to take this. We already know they spent 40 years in the wilderness because they wouldn't do what God told them to do. So now they're going in there. They conquer Jericho. He sees these things. He knew God didn't want him to take them. He already had warning not to touch anything there. He brings them home anyway. And may I tell you something? The first problem that you know you're heading wrong direction is he hid it, right? Okay, so he goes home and he hides it. May I tell you something? I'm just going to throw this in for free. Nobody can get the help that they need unless we're honest and come to the fact that we need help. Nothing gets fixed by hiding it. You know what? Sometimes we even think we can hide it from the Lord. The best policy is just to be honest with him, because he already knows. And honesty puts you in a spot where you can actually get help. He didn't do that. Do you know if he would have taken that, got it home, felt guilty about it, went to somebody and said, "Listen, I don't know what to do about this, Lloyd. Can you help me? Would you go to Joshua with me? I brought this home, and I know I shouldn't have brought it home. And I feel bad about it. I'm a little bit scared to go there myself. Will you come help me?" And Lloyd says, "Boy, you know, that is bad, but come on, let's go, and we'll go talk to him together." But instead, he went home and he hid it. Well, then they went to go to battle that little town outside of Jericho Ai, and they go to battle that, and they should have won that. By all means, Israel should not have failed that day, but they lost, and people died, okay? And then they come back home, and Joshua's trying to figure out, why in the world did this happen? God had to take his blessing off of Israel, not because of heathen Jericho, but because of somebody in their own country. They owned that. It was something that they couldn't blame it on Jericho. They couldn't blame it on the fact that they were going after false gods. That was something that happened in Israel. And the problem was, Achan was a part of the problem. He owned that, right? He wasn't a part of the solution. He was causing the problem. The church has to understand, we may be a really big part of the problem in America. Because if every Christian that proclaimed the name of Christ actually lived it, including me, to its fullest, the way God is worthy of, things would be different. So we need to look at that, and instead of always looking to Washington and giving the blame, we might need to look a little bit on the inside. And we might need to say, now what part of this do I own? What area in my life would offend God today? I mean, wouldn't that be a legitimate question? For each and every one of us to look inside and say, what area of my life? Forget talking about the president or whoever, but what area of my life would offend God today? What area of my life would go against his holiness? What area of my life would grieve God? And then I need to take care of that. I don't want to be a part of the problem. I want to be a part of the solution. And Achan was a part of the problem. You know, because of what he did that day. And you know, you ever read that? You know, his whole family was stoned to death. Now, doesn't that seem a little bit unfair? I mean, Samson actually slept with a woman of ill repute. The next day, God gives him the power to rip down the gates of the city. And I'm thinking, man, poor Achan, all he did was steal a The problem is, Achan's sin caused somebody else harm. Innocent men didn't go home to their family that day because God's blessing had to be taken off of them. There were kids without a dad that could never be replaced because they died in battle of Ai, and they shouldn't have died. And because of that one thing, man, the effects of that were widespread, and his whole entire family was stoned. And I told you before, could you imagine standing there and your kids all around you, and they're asking, Daddy, why are they throwing rocks at us? Daddy, why do they got, Daddy, why is all of our, you know, they took all their stuff out of their house, their sheep, their goats, all their animals were stoned that day. That was quite a thing. Man, I tell you what, if that kind of judgment were to visit the average church today, we would all be in trouble. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to be a part of the problem. I can't change Washington. I can just work on me. And it's a good idea to look on the inside and say, what area in my life am I lacking? What area in my life have I let the world in? And what area in my life am I struggling? And if that's the case, then first off, be honest with God about it. Second, get some help. I mean, that's what the body of Christ is. You know, not to have to walk through anything alone, because there's people around that love and care for you. Our families need to be stronger. We need to be stronger individually. We don't want to be a part of the problem. Yes, we know. Yes, we know there's going to be a great falling away. We just don't want to be a part of the problem of that. Now, if you would, go to Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17, I want you to look at verse 12. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 12. So there's a battle going on, and Joshua is fighting. I always found this story very interesting, because I would like to ask God why he set it up this way. But as this battle was going on, Moses was to lift up his hands, and God said, as long as your hands are lifted up, the battle is going to be won. When his hands got tired, the battle switched, and the opposite side was winning. Now, do you believe when his hands went down, if the battle switches, that means good guys died? Right? Simply because your arms are tired? You know, I'm thinking about reading that going, man, that's a bummer. You know, hey, Moses, you're out there on the battlefield. Hey, Moses, keep them up in the air. Well, Moses could only do so much by himself. So read at verse 12. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Ur stayed up his hands, the one on the side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun, and they won the battle. But every time before that, every time under his own strength, his hands got weak, the battle shifted, and the enemy won. Here in this story, you have people that were not the problem, they were the solution to the problem. They jumped in instead of being the cause of why the battle was being lost. They were the cause of why it was being won. They were the cause of why it was successful that day. Because they got in there and they were a part of the fix, not a part of the problem. What the church needs to do, and then the church is made up of families, and families are made up of individuals. What we need to do is be a part of the fix, not a part of the problem. We can talk about how we don't like our country. We can even talk about things you'd like to see different in church. You can talk about things you want to see different in your family. Husbands, you can say, boy, I wish my wife this. Wives can say, boy, I wish my husband this. Kids would say, I wish my family. And the family could say, I wish my kids. I mean, we can talk about all kinds of those things. Let me ask you something. Problems are everywhere. Are you part of the problem? Are you part of the solution to the problem? That day, Aaron was a part of the solution. He went over there, he held his brother's arms up, and instead of being the cause of losing the battle, they were a cause of the reason why they won the battle. When Jesus said that he was, in fact, I'm going to read this to you. I want you to go to Galatians chapter 6, if you would, in verse 2. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. The Bible says this, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. If you look at verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Here it's talking about somebody in the church, if somebody else is struggling, you know, instead of judging that person, said, go there and be a part of the solution. Bear ye one another's burdens. And later on in that same chapter, it says that we all have to bear our own burdens. In other words, the consequences of bad choices are for us to deal with on our own, but the journey itself does not have to be gone through alone. That another person can come through instead of tearing them down, they can come through there and lift them up. Now, if you take that to home, if you take that to church, you take that to our country, we can go home, we can look at whatever situation around us and say, now, how can I make this better? Instead of, what we like to do is say, okay, Sean needs to do this. I've done a lot of marital counseling, and when you sit down and you talk to them, it's funny. You know, the list starts, well, this one does this, and this one does that. I've never had one yet where it starts out, this is where I know that I'm wrong, and this is where I know I can help. Because that's not something we like to do. But every dad in here, I want you to look at your family and ask you this question. Look at it and say, what can I do to be a part of the solution? Right? First off, we understand that we're not up here. The Bible says to be careful, because if you think that you stand, you're going to fall. Understand that every one of us have problems. Amen. Every family out there has struggles they have to walk through. Every human being in a relationship with another human being is going to have difficulties. Look at that relationship, whether it's in the church, whether it's in your family, or whether it's at work, wherever it is, look at that situation and say, what can I do to be a part of the fix? What can I do to help the situation? What in the Bible can I apply? Where can I be a better dad? Where can I be a better husband? Where can I be a better church member? Where can I plug myself in and be a part of the fix instead of a part of the problem? What do I need to do? How can I make this better? You know, all right, here's somebody that's struggling. Here's somebody that's down. Here's somebody, you know, that life's gotten a hold of them. And I'm involved with that person in my life. What can I do to help them so that we can together get over this, so our families can be stronger, so our church can be stronger? What can I do? What would God have me to do? That's why it says, bear ye one another's burden. And then Jesus said that he suffered in the flesh for this reason, so he could succor us or to help us. Do you know, Jesus Christ was not the problem of my sin, but he was the solution. Jesus did not cause sin, but he did fix it. Right? It wasn't the cause. He was not the cause of the problem, but he was the solution and is today. And in our lives, yes, guys, America's a disaster. And you know, I many times I have this conversation, just by nature of where we're going, do you understand it can't last? I don't bust anybody's bubble, but there's something better in America out there.
Amen.
It's called the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Right? Okay? That's coming. Right? Hey, America will... We get depressed sometimes thinking, somebody told me the other day that we probably are no longer the world's superpower. Okay. Were you counting on that? Anyways? Was that where your hope is? Shouldn't be. All right, with that said, we're still here and we got to make a difference. Maybe what we have to say is maybe the country is in the way that it is, not because of politicians who aren't even saved. Maybe the church owns a greater part of that than we want to talk about, and maybe I own a greater part of that than I want to admit. Maybe we have some failures that need to be looked at. Maybe we have some things that we need to work on. And everybody in this room, I can't name all of those things. You can look in your heart and you can tell right now. In your home, are you the reason why everybody's on edge every day? Or are you the reason why they're smiling? At home, are you the reason why everybody's upbeat? Or are you the one dragging them down every day? With your kids, are you know, when you say, you know, well, you know, their attitude, whatever. Are you adding to that or are you taking away from that? Same way in church. You can look at it in church and you can say, well, this is wrong and that's wrong, or I'd like to see this happen, or like, okay, well, if that's the case, the question asked is, are you going to be a part of that, the solution to it? Or maybe the attitude sometime around that can also be the drain on it. The question is this. We know that as it gets closer to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is going to be a great falling away, without a doubt. Is it going to be because of us? Or are we going to be the reason why God's grace, even though there's craziness out there, there doesn't have to be craziness here, it doesn't have to be craziness in my life, right? Okay, and I can either be the problem or I can be the fix to the problem. And that's a personal thing. I can't answer that. There is going to be another problem one day. Anybody that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ. I was thinking the other day, I was doing a devotion for Sean. And of course, you always want people to get saved. But I was honestly really kind of gunning at something else about just raising up men. And in the middle of that, I stopped. We were talking about men. In the middle of that thing, I stopped and I said, You know, as strong as somebody thinks they are, if you die without Christ, 5 seconds into hell, I promise you, you will be begging for the same drop of water that rich man was begging for. And it may not even take 5 seconds. And it doesn't matter how strong of an individual you are, you will be reduced to that in seconds. You know, there is another problem that is going to happen. Anybody that dies without the Lord Jesus Christ will spend eternity in hell.
Amen.
You can do something about that problem. And after I did that whole thing and I stopped and I thought, you know what? I don't want to end a message without throwing that in. You will never navigate this life's issues without having the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You're just wasting your time. It won't work. It'll just be a band-aid. And then one day you have to reckon with eternity. And that's forever.
Right.
You can be a part of the solution. Well, you say, well, Jesus Christ died. Yes, he did die. Yes, most people in this room have heard that story multiple times. Question is, today, you could change that whole thing. By being the one that says, you know what, I've heard that, and now I need to act on it. And that day, at his football thing, afterwards, a young man playing football, tough kid, goes up to Sean, talks to him about getting saved and trusts the Lord as his Savior. right? Because he recognized he was the problem. Jesus Christ is the solution, and he needed Christ. We can talk about whether it's at home. There might be a dad here that says, why is this? It might simply because there's a dad here that's not saved. There might be a mom here that's trying to do that that's not saved. There may be a young person trying to navigate life and just wondering why it's not. Because if you don't have the Lord on your side, you're losing automatically. There's not enough goodwill you can throw at that problem to fix it. The only person that can fix that is the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, those are issues, the ones we talked about earlier, whether you're going to be part of the problem or part of the solution, and about your eternity. Those are private things that only you can answer. And what an invitation is just an opportunity for each person to reflect on their own heart and ask God to show them. And a good question for Christians is, are you a part of the problem or are you a part of the solution? In your family, in your church, in your country. If you're not saved, the question is, there is a major problem. There's only one solution, and it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Until you have him, you'll be spinning your wheels, and it'll eventually end in eternity in hell. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the truth that's in the Bible. And thank you for helping us. Lord, we oftentimes think about the end of the world, especially because sometimes it seems like it could be today. But Lord, we can talk about all the problems in our country and how bad it's gotten, and the morality, the abortion, the same-sex marriage. We go on and on and on about all these things. But then, Lord, at one time, there were churches and people everywhere, and we just let things go. And although it's comfortable to blame it on politicians, the reality is we own a lot more of that than we want to take credit for. Oftentimes we have spent time in Achan's category. The only thing is that you're not taking us out and stoning us. Lord, there's dads, including myself, have been the reason for hardships in our family. So that is hard to admit that, but it's true, because we're sinners. And Lord, I pray as we look at that, we'd be honest, not hide it like Achan, but deal with it. Recognize where we've gone wrong, admit it, and then do something about it, which brings us to the second point. Lord, help us to be a part of the solution to why you bless America and why you bless this church and why you bless their families. And if there's somebody here that does not know you as their Savior, Father, I pray you'd give them the courage to trust you as the solution today. We can never be that solution ourselves. We ask this in your precious name. If you'd stand with heads bowed and eyes closed, we're just going to have a time of invitation. If the ladies will come, I'm just going to ask them here in just a second to play a verse.